Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You know, a few years back, I had the opportunity to go to a conference in Washington, D.C. It was for up-and-coming Christian leaders. And again, it was the older generation of Christian leaders, you know, the heavy hitters and so forth. The idea behind it was they were going to interact with those of us that were kind of coming up, were a little wet behind the ears, and encourage us in our walk with God. Well, it was an interesting experience for me going to this because I discovered something. You know, these heavy hitters, and I won't name names because many of them you would probably recognize. Even though the purpose of this conference was to encourage young leaders, you couldn't really get through to the older leaders very easily. You know, like, for instance, if you wanted to talk with one of these leaders one-on-one, you first had to schmooze up to their personal assistant, who would then see if you could get time with a great man. I noticed something else. The young leaders, we met in and ate in one dining room. The heavy hitters would meet in another dining room, so they could just hang out with each other. And I thought that was really puzzling. I thought these people were supposed to be interacting with us, not just giving us lectures. If that was the case, I could just, you know, get the lectures from the thing and listen to them at home. But there was one shining example of someone who was different. Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ really blew my mind because not only did he refuse to eat with the other heavy hitters, the other so-and-sos from, you know, the Christian star system, he ate right there with us, but he also gave instructions to his right-hand man that there would always be an empty chair at his table for anybody that wanted to spend time with him. This is the guy who founded Campus Crusade for Christ. He also opened up his hotel suite every night for a gathering for anybody that wanted to talk to him about anything. And I had the opportunity to meet Bill and Vonette Bright at that, and I was just blown away at the humility of this guy. I mean, here was a guy that should have had five people to screen people out, and yet the love of Jesus Christ was demonstrated by him. I looked at him and I said, now there's a leader I want to follow. Can I ask you a question? Are you that same kind of leader in your home? Are you that kind of leader in your neighborhood? Are you that kind of leader even here in the church? Because I guarantee you, people influence people. You have a sphere of influence. And the question I need to ask you is this: what are you doing with it? Are you setting an example of love for God, a love for His Word, of practical application of the principles of God's Word? Or is it all about kind of me, 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 and I, and I'm looking for somebody else to sort of straighten things out? Well, God calls all of us to be part, not of the problem, but of the solution in the church. Now, the leaders of the people, we are told, dwelt at Jerusalem. They decided to go first. But notice as well, the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9/10 were to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now notice something. They have a lottery, right? They got to populate Jerusalem. They've got to take people out of their cities and get people to dwell in the land. Now, scholars believe that the general population of people that had returned to land at this point was roughly about 1 million people. So 100,000 of them are going to have to move from their places that they had already established, pick up roots, and move to Jerusalem. We go, oh, wow, moving to Jerusalem, that sounds good. No, it wasn't good. Remember, Jerusalem has been in ruins. It's been a wreck. It is still in need of huge renovations. Could you imagine God calling you to leave behind your comfort zone, the place where you live, the place where you feel, say, most at home, and just go to a place you've never seen before? I remember when I was in seminary, we used to have a joke that if you ever drove through a place and you thought it was a real pit, never say, oh, man, I'd never want to live there, because God would definitely call you to that particular place. You know, we were all living in terror of being the next pastor of Calvary Chapel of Boron, California, or something like that. But that's really what these people were asked to do. They were asked to move into this place that was definitely outside of their comfort zone. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to be a part of impacting this world for Christ, living a world of impact, sooner or later you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. Comfortable people rarely make a difference in this world. Sometimes we like to organize our life. We like to set up our life in such a way that things are predictable. We've got an idea of how things are going to go. But God says, no, I'm going to upset the apple cart. I want to put you in a place where you've got no choice but to trust me. Well, that's exactly what God was doing here. Now, notice how these people were alerted to this calling of God. We're told that the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem. Well, this idea of casting lots, what is this all about? Well, in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33, we read, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, here we see a situation where all things being equal, right, you just kind of had to make sort of a call. In essence, the people that would be called to leave behind their comfortable life and repopulate Jerusalem, that decision is going to be made, guess what? By a flip of a coin. You know, it was a godly flip of the coin. They'd pray about it first. But boy, you want to talk about a lottery you didn't want to win. That was it. Man, if your name came up in this lottery, you'd be like, oh no, I got to leave everything behind and move to that pit, that place that needs all this renovation. Yeah. But understand something. The reason that they cast lots was not just because it was the fairest way to do things, or there was no better way to figure out who was going to stay and who was going to go. It was because they wanted to trust God with all of this. You know, it's interesting, this whole idea of casting lots. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, okay, Scott, so you're telling me that I can discern the will of God by flipping a coin? No, understand, God has a far more wonderful way of guiding and directing us in the day and age that we live in back right now. Back then, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, yeah, you kind of had to flip a coin to figure out God's will in a lot of ways. But I love the direction that God gives us now. In John chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see, in the Christian life, we are led and guided by the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit guide us? Well, he guides us, first of all, through his Holy Spirit-inspired word. If I'm looking at a situation where I've got to make a decision in life, where I'm saying, okay, God, where can I serve? How can I serve you in the most effective way? The first thing you need to do is to realize that you need to pray. You know, again, the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. One of the reasons I think we go through the Christian life sometimes terminally clueless is we never get over that particular point. We never ask God. Sometimes when people will come to me and they'll say, you know, I'm really going through this tough situation. I really need some counsel and all this. The first question I will ask them is this: have you prayed about this? Have you asked God for his guidance about what he wants you to do and where he wants you involved? Boy, if we don't ask God, that's a classic example of you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. Do you really want to know God's will? And it starts with prayer. You know, I guarantee you, if you come before the Lord and say to him, you know what, Lord, I just feel aimless in life. I feel purposeless in life. I want my life to make an impact. Please, Lord, show me in Jesus' name how I can bless people. Show me where you want me to be. I guarantee you, God's not going to listen to that prayer in heaven and go, nah, I don't think so. No, I'm going to just let them, you know, flop around. And no, of course, God gives good gifts to his people, including guidance and direction. But we have to ask in faith without doubting, James goes on to say. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not such a man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Ask and ask in faith. That is the most important way to know you're smack dab in the middle of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for your life. But understand this, we need to realize something. All of us, just like the people of Israel, this 1 out of 10, were called to this special form of ministry. Each and every one of us as believers in Christ has a calling from God on our lives. God not only saved you from sin, he saved you to a life that really matters. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, but what is that calling, Scott? Well, if only an angel would show me exactly what I need to do. You know, the problem with angelgrams and expecting angelic intervention and stuff like this is that so often by looking for these things, we neglect to use what God has already given us to guide our life, and that's his word. You know, if you decide you're going to walk according to God's word, you decide, say, for instance, you know, you really want to live a life of impact. You really want to know what God wants you to do with your life. Boy, you go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. You know, I love this because it tells me something. It's not as complicated as sometimes we make it out to be. If God has my heart, right? He can take the rest of me and put it wherever he wants. But if God doesn't have my heart, you know, if I'm not serving him in a wholehearted way, if I'm like, okay, God, I'd like to serve you, but I reserve the right of first refusal if I don't like what you're telling me to do, you'll never hear from the Lord. You'll never hear from him. But if he has your heart, you lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. Now, notice what it says. You know, before you're waiting for the big revelation of what God's great purpose is for your life, the great revelation of what area of ministry he wants you to occupy, boy, in all your ways, you're acknowledging him. You just say, okay, God, you know, until you make it really, really clear where I'm supposed to serve, you really make it clear what the purpose and the ultimate plan for my life is, I am just going to be faithful to you today. You decide to do that today, God's going to get you exactly where you need to go. He promised. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Remember three conditions here. And what's the promise? He will make your path straight. He'll show you exactly what you need to do. Exactly what you need to do. You know, the other thing that I think is so powerful in this passage is this. It says, and the people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. What's the confirmation that you're really doing what God has called you to do? You're willing. You know, you're more than willing. You're excited. You're enthusiastic about what God has called you to do. If you need someone like me to come alongside of you and say, you know, I think you really ought to go to work for the youth. You know, you've had some background working with the youth. You've been on the sidelines for a long time. I think you really need to work with the youth. And you're like, okay, I guess I'll go to work with the youth. Hey, save it. The youth don't need somebody there because someone's twisted their arm or guilt-tripped them into something like that. You know, but if on the other side of the coin, you know, the Lord starts laying a burden on your heart for young people, and you're saying to yourself, man, it is so much more difficult to grow up in times like these. In the time I grew up, these kids are getting bombarded by all this stuff on the internet and their mobile devices and things like this. And boy, I want to make a difference in their lives. Oh, my heart's just breaking about that. That is the kind of calling that God will really use. That kind of enthusiasm, if you will. That kind of heart, if you will, for God. And that's what real spiritual leadership is all about. It's having a heart for God. It's having a heart for God that is, in a sense, contagious. It's living your life in such a way that people look at you and go, you know what? I want to follow the Lord like that guy does. Well, that's how I ended up in Calvary Chapel in the first place. I remember listening to Pastor Chuck Smith on the radio while I was walking to work back in the day. I remember back in the day, he used to be on at 7:30 in the morning on AM radio. And I used to walk to work, and I had this big yellow Sony Walkman that played cassettes. I don't even think, are cassettes still even around now? I mean, that's kind of gone the way of the dinosaur. But it had AM and FM, and I used to listen to Pastor Chuck on the radio walking to work. And I remember just this thought crossed my mind. Wow, you know, I'd really like to have a relationship with God like that guy does someday. Let me tell you something. The nicest thing anybody will ever say about you in your life, those very same words. Wow, I'd really like to walk with the Lord like that person does. I'd really like to be into God's word and to apply it like that person does. Wow, I'd really like to learn to share my faith the way that person does. Wow, I'd really like to come alongside other people and extend mercy to them and care about them the way that person does. You see, that's what real leadership is all about. And that's what the people of Israel saw in these individuals. Not only did they, in a sense, win the lottery that nobody wanted to win, right? But they didn't go kicking and screaming. They willingly went to serve the Lord. And boy, that makes an impact on the lives of people. Willingly serving the Lord. You know, you can't give out of an empty bucket, it's been said. You can't share something with others that you yourself have not received. And so can I challenge you this morning? You know, the most important thing that we can do in our walk with God can be summed up in one word: be an example. An example. Boy, 1 Peter chapter 5, no less an individual than Simon Peter said this: "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." You know, there are all kinds of people who say, "Oh, you know, I'd love to serve the Lord, Scott, but I don't have enough education. I'd love to serve the Lord, Scott, but I don't have enough experience. I'd love to serve the Lord, Scott, but, you know, I don't have time," or this or the other. You know, we can get paralyzed in our walk with God by focusing in on what we don't have. Well, let me ask you a question about what you do have, what you need to have. Do you have a heart for God? Do you have a heart for His people? Do you have a heart for the Lord to do a work within you where He teaches you how to love? If He's got that, I guarantee you, not only is He going to put you in places where your life can make a difference, but your life's going to make a lasting impact. You know, sometimes we don't really know how much of an impact we've made in this life until we leave this life. I've discovered that the hard way. In my experience as a pastor, one of the things I do are memorial services. And when I do a memorial service for people, I will get together with a family, and I'll say, you know, well, part of the memorial service is to share some memories about this person's life. You know, what made them special. I'll never forget, this guy came in and asked me to do a memorial for his brother. You know, he just got the name of the church out of the phone book. And I said, "Well, what would you like shared about your brother at his memorial?" And he goes, "I don't know, just make it short." Whoa. You know, that kind of told me everything I needed to know about what was going on with this relationship. But on the other side of the coin, I've seen some exact opposites take place. You know, when I was at Calvary Costa Mesa, I was asked to do a memorial for a woman who had passed away after a long battle with cancer. She'd been a critical care nurse for a number of years. Her name was Eloise. And I'll never forget the story of Eloise. It was the exact opposite of the guy who came in and said, "Make it short." When the appointment came up to set up her memorial, there must have been 15 of her relatives who wanted to be there to have their input about her memorial. We had to move the meeting out of my office and into the sanctuary to talk about things. You know, and it just turned out that this woman had just been this wonderful picture of the love of Jesus Christ. She had shared God's love in so many powerful sets of circumstances. Even her son-in-law said, "Man, I'm her son-in-law," and she just loved me like I was one of her own. And I was just like, "Wow, this is going to be great," you know. And you know, we'll make sure that all of you get the opportunity to do that. And they say, "Well, one thing my mom would want more than anything else," her daughter said, "is that the good news of Jesus Christ would be shared at that memorial." And I went, "Okay, we'll make sure and we do that." So we went, and it was just a beautiful memorial. You know, it was like a homegoing celebration, just hearing the amazing impact this woman had made on so many lives. Well, after the memorial got done, the following week, I got a call from Eloise's daughter. And she would go, "Pastor Scott, you'll never guess what happened. You know, I have this neighbor, and I've been trying to share Christ with her for a long, long time, and she's been really resistant to it. And, you know, she heard my mom had passed away, and you know, she was kind of weighing back and forth because she, you know, her son had a soccer game, and she thought, well, am I going to do the soccer game, or am I going to go to the memorial?" She decided to go to the memorial, right? So she goes to the memorial, and this woman calls Eloise's daughter afterwards and says, "You know, that God that guy was talking about the funeral, the God your mom knew, boy, that's the God I really want to know. Could you come over and share the gospel, you know, the good news with me? How can I become a Christian?" So she set up this meeting with her neighbor, and she was just really nervous about it because she'd been sharing with her forever, and her neighbor had been really resistant. And you know, she had all of her, you know, apologetic stuff all together, and, you know, "Can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it?" answers and things like that. And, you know, she thought it was really going to be this intense thing. And, you know, she started into her presentation, and her friend was just kind of looking at her, and she kind of shook her head, and she goes, no, I don't need to know about that. I just want to know how I can get Jesus in my heart. I just want to know that same Jesus that your mom did." And when she told me that story, I just shook my head and I went, "Oh, Eloise, you couldn't get out of here without dragging one more person to heaven, could you?" What a wonderful thing to say about somebody's life. Can I ask you a question? What are they going to say about your life? You know, sooner or later, all of us are going to be the guest of honor at a memorial in our honor. Are people going to be scratching their heads going, "Gee, I got to say something nice about this person? Well, they always pay their taxes on time, I guess." Or are people going to say, "You know what I loved about this person? I saw the love of Jesus in them." You make that your number one priority. God is going to use you in ways that are going to blow your mind.
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then two blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our video extension campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.